And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So we have a demonic demagogue in the White House whose model for leadership would no doubt be Mao Zedong. And you're saying, oh, don't be crazy. That can't happen here. Welcome to The Savage Nation. I'm going to take you on a long ride today. Mao Zedong allegedly took his people on a long march, which was a complete lie, according to historians, a fabrication of his equivalents of the White House press corps. There was no long march. It was a fake. Mao Zedong was a monster, a monster, a monster who used his, let us say, salesmanship to take over China, and through scheming, blackmailing, and poisoning to get his way. And his secret goal was to dominate the world. In chasing the dream of conquering the world, Mao Zedong caused the deaths of 38 million people in the greatest famine in history. And according to real historians, well over 70 million Chinese perished under Mao's rule in peacetime. So you say, well, what the heck does that have to do with that nice man in the White House? Why, he just wants racial justice. He needs a deserved vacation in Hawaii with his nice wife, Michelle, and his two lovely daughters. That's $70 million is money well spent on all of his vacations. Think of how hard he just worked to get through that budget over the objections of, let us say, nobody. And Nancy Pelosi has all the funding she could possibly need. They're swimming in money in San Francisco right now. They don't know what to do with it. There's not enough estates from here to Costa Rica for the folks around the Boxers, the Pelosis, and the Feinsteins to buy. There's not enough land. There's nothing. Not enough of anything. There's so much been purchased with the largesse of this wonderful leader in the White House. So we're waiting impatiently now to see what they'll buy up next. But oh, I don't want to get distracted from what's going on. You know that there's no Republican Party. I've told you it's a one-party system since 1994 when I started in radio. I called it a one-party system playing two-card Monty. I told you it was Demokins or Republicrats. I told you it was a two-card Monty with, you know, three shells on a table with no P under either any of the shells. I told you that. It's been a shell game all along. I'm shocked that people are waking up who backed George Bush, who went to dinner with George Bush, who licked George Bush's shoes, who promoted the Republican Party for 20 years, suddenly saying, end the Republican Party. Really? Really? Welcome to the club. But I want to get back to this question. What do you fear Obama's going to do before he leaves office, if he does leave office, that is? Since he is unstoppable, since virtually everything this crazy man has wanted, he has gotten. And you only know the half of it, not even a half of what he's done. I'll try to fill in the details today on the program in the next 3 hours. He's gotten everything he wanted, virtually every one of his punch list, everything on his punch list of the radical far left agenda has been imposed upon the American people. There's only a few things left. What do you fear this crazy man is going to do before he leaves office? That's number one. And I want to go back to Mao Zedong for a minute. Because I've called this leader of ours Obama. Obama. It fits nicely. It's kind of a nice ring to it. Obama. I used it a few years ago. There's a great biography that I started reading last night called The Unknown Story Mao by Yung Chang. Little bedtime reading. Little light reading. About 800 pages. This woman was a Red Guard briefly at the age of 14. Now, many of you don't know what a Red Guard is. The thugs in Baltimore and the thugs in Ferguson, the thugs at Yale, who are screaming at white professors, driving them off campus under the guise of white privilege, they are the Red Guards of today. They are Obama's guards. They don't know that. Some of them do know it. The leadership, which is all white, communists out of Chicago, they know who they are. They are the new Red Guards. But they're not wearing little blue suits with red stars, are they? These are the Red Guards. I call them Obama's guards. This one, this author, Yung Chang, was a Red Guard, a real one, at the age of 14. And then she worked as a peasant, as a barefoot doctor. You may remember that phrase from the 1970s. Anyway, she eventually worked her way to England. She obtained a PhD in linguistics in 1982. the first person from the People's Republic of China to receive a doctorate from a British university. She wrote a best-selling book called Wild Swan in 1991. And this is an older book. She knows the true story of Mao Zedong and his communist revolution. She spent 10 years researching this. And when you hear what Mao Zedong actually did, what he did to people, his fellow Chinese, and what it has to do with what Obama is trying to do to, I wouldn't say his people, because I don't know who his people are. It's hard to say who his people are since he has such utter contempt for the American people. What he's trying to do to the West, let's put it to you that way. Yes, I have a savage indictment of Barack Obama. Michael Savage gives you a savage indictment of the most dangerous man in American history, a man who gets away with virtually anything he wishes to get away with. You say, well, you know, things aren't that bad. The economy's pretty good. Gasoline is cheap. I can go away this vacation. The snow fell up in the mountains. How bad can things be? Well, I don't know. How bad could things be? What do you fear Obama's going to do before he leaves office? I've been warning you for a long time now. Virtually everything I've warned you would happen has happened, and what I haven't warned you will happen, will eventually happen. And I've been telling you that I've studied the communist cultural revolution for a long time. During that period, the Red Guards roamed China and destroyed any symbol of a decadent bourgeois culture, including the food dogs that I collect. Because Mao Zedong believed that these food dogs were, in Obama's terms, symbols of unfairness. And so people, Chinese people, ordinary Chinese people who hid from these maniacs, tried to remove and hide these treasures of China's vast cultural heritage. Some even removed ceramic roof tiles on which these lion dogs were mounted to save them from Mao Zedong's rapacious young thugs of political correctness. But Mao named the thugs Red Guards. Does that sound familiar to you? Today, our rogue president's Red Guards are rapidly destroying every vestige of America's cultural heritage. From the schools to universities, young brains are being washed of history and logic. Science is being replaced by rote repetition of big lies. Children are being taught that a better, more fair world is being created, when in fact it is a totalitarian monstrosity. The world of Obama is a world of conformist beliefs, not critical thought. It's a world where centralized authority replaces individualism, where conformity and nihilism trump creativity and faith. It is a world where the Red Guards of America, once independent media and academic establishments, now seek out, remove, and attempt to destroy any symbol of American distinction and greatness. Obama is really great at leading America in the wrong direction. This is a rogue president. And so these are from pages 26 and 27 of Government Zero, which is a very, very important book. And I keep repeating it until you finally understand that I'm not just selling you a book, I'm selling you an idea. An idea that unless enough Americans understand the model that this maniac in the White House is using, the worst is yet to come. The maniac just got a budget that is incomprehensible because there is no Republican Party. It's one and the same. I've told you it's Democrats. I've told you it's Republicrats. I've told you this for 21 years. Fine. For a while, we were winning. In fact, I would take some credit for having caused some of the upheavals in the last two federal elections. But what good does it do if you don't have a party to represent you? They don't have the will nor the means, so what's the difference? They're all frauds anyway, by and large. The only good ones you never hear from. They were put in the back of the bus right from the beginning by John Boehner and the others. So before it gets worse, and before we go into this in any more detail, do we have any of Obama's speech yet from today? You got to listen to this maniac crowing this morning about his victory and what's going to come. Robert, play what you have.
There's some things in there that I don't like, but that's the nature of legislation and compromise. And I think the system worked. That gives me some optimism that next year, on a narrow set of issues, we can get some more work done.
I don't know if you know what he just said. I told you he's a psychopath. I told you that he shows all the signs of a psychopathic madman. Now, what do I mean by that? Do you think that a psychopath has to run down the street with a hatchet and hit someone? Do you think a psychopath has to buy a machine gun and shoot up a school? A psychopath can destroy a nation without firing a shot. Do you understand that? Now, that's why I want to talk about Mao Zedong. Many of you don't know who he was. In fact, there's a revival going on in China right now for this madman. That's hard to believe that the Chinese are that stupid. I thought they were an intelligent people. I thought that once they rid themselves of this hardcore communism, they would never want to go back there. But apparently, they're chasing the same dream all over again. This maniac, Mao Zedong, caused the deaths of 38 million people during the greatest famine in history because he imposed his views of agriculture on the Chinese. In all, over 70 million Chinese died under Mao's rule, and that's during peacetime. But what does it have to do with Obama? Well, you have to look at the man's psychology to see the comparison or the parallel. And that would be a ruthless portrait of Mao Zedong's accumulation of power through the exercise of terror. Now, we don't have an exercise of physical terror in this country quite yet, other than the burning of Baltimore, the killing of police in Ferguson and other cities by his Red Guards. We have, as people, not yet seen his reign of terror. You have to enter the shadowy chambers of Mao Zedong's mind to see where he went. You have to see how evil he was towards women, towards his wives and children. You have to look at what he did to his cohorts, meaning men who fought with him, how he tortured them to death in order to gain power over them. And I can read some of this to you, how he twisted the world, even against other communists, to show how he was really their leader. What he did to them is beyond comprehension, something you could never understand. Unless you understand history itself, you could never understand what he did. Burying enemies alive. For example, Mao Zedong's main party rivals were men we never heard of. Chiang Kuo-Tao, you never heard of them. Men back in the 1930s. And so what Mao Zedong did was he sabotaged any competitor, even on the communist side. And then he sent the remainder of their men. He had a very large army, this competitor. Mao sabotaged him during the Long March. And then he sent half the remainder of the other men to its doom in the Northwest Desert, burying the survivors alive. Did you know that Mao Zedong welcomed the Japanese invasion of China as a way to destroy Chiang Kai-shek? I'm trying to give you a thumbnail sketch of what happens when a person is insane and attains power. An insane genius like Hitler, an insane genius like Stalin, an insane genius like Mao Zedong. These are very important models for you to understand in order to understand the insane genius that's running the United States of America off the rails. Now, before I finish this little monologue and invite your calls, and you have already occupied every line that's available because this is the most thoughtful show in the history of talk radio. This is not Democrat, Republican. This is not that. You're not going to get that. You're going to get something a little different, a little deeper. That's why I'm getting the best callers in the history of radio. And I want to go on with this thought for a minute. No, you know what? I'll take a quick break and come back with a little talk about the Inuit in the Arctic before the white man came, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Many of you are limited in your thinking, so when I talk about Obama and Mao Zedong, you think I'm making a direct comparison. It's because your minds are limited. I'm trying to show you a bigger picture. Of course he's not exactly like Mao Zedong. These are different times. We are a different people. Different situation. But he has the same mentality as Mao Zedong. So drop line two. He's a limited, you know, one-track caller who doesn't quite get it. But if you look at the overall picture of Mao Zedong, and you look at the overall picture of Barack Obama, who is still a very young man, and then you understand that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that this maniac has absolute power. Not quite. He almost has absolute power. You have to ask yourself, what would this lunatic do, given his hatred for the American people and America itself? What might he do if he gains any more power, since there's no opposition to this man? It's unlimited in what he might do. That's what I'm trying to warn you. Now, this would take maturity and history. Now, I hope there are some Chinese listening to the show who lived through Mao Zedong's Red Guards period. I want you to open up one line, Jim, so we have one open line special for Chinese who lived through Mao Tse-tung's purges of China, what he did to the people. Someone who knows what he did and knows what Obama is doing and sees the analogy. Maybe we can teach the people who are listening something about history, because they don't know what they're living through. So before I get into that, I told you I'd talk about the Inuit, the Inuits in the Arctic before the white man came, and how they lived, or the Native American for that matter, who lived here for over 200,000 years before the Europeans, I'll put it in a politically correct way, invaded America. I mean, we can do the Pilgrim story. Let's put it in the other context. You're a Native American, which was not all paradisical, by the way. They skinned each other alive, kidnapped each other's wives and daughters, raped them. I mean, let's be clear. Let's stop with the noble savage. But they were here for 200,000 years, and they developed a material culture that was phenomenal. If you ever tried to live off the land and at the same time develop a culture, you'd understand how phenomenal the material culture is of most of the Native American tribes, how advanced they were. And just living off the land, the way they hunted. For example, when they hunted an animal, they didn't butcher the animal for the sake of sport like so many cowards do. They did so because they needed food and they needed the skin for shelter. In fact, they thanked whatever the spirits were for giving them the animal, rather than just shooting the animal for the blood sport of killing the elephant, for example. But that's not what I want to tell you about. I want to tell you what happened to the Inuit after the white man came, how they went from this sort of remarkable, almost Superman, noble creature who could live on the ice itself, to broken wrecks living on government handouts in cardboard houses with government cheese. What does it have to do with you? Take a look at Obama's invasion. Project ahead 100 years.
We see how Guantanamo has been used to create this mythology that America is at war with Islam. And, you know, for us to close it is part of our counterterrorism strategy that is supported by our military,
right out of Homeland,
our diplomatic, and our intelligence teams.
The man is acting out the movie Homeland. He's actually doing it to release dangerous terrorists onto the battlefield and onto the streets. And he's saying it's part of his strategy to fight the war on terror. Now, what does it have to do with my opening? I'll read you something from the great biography of Mao Tse-tung. So the Communist Party envoys condemned one of his competitors, Chi Tan, for being consistently right-wing, meaning too moderate, and charged him with being an agent of Chiang Kai-shek, who had, quote, listen to this carefully, who had created a Red Army base in order to wipe out the Red Army. Do you understand the double speak of that one? Look, maybe this is over the heads of the average listener. I get it. Most of you were into, like, damn Repub, damn, blah, 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 blah. But I have to go way beyond that in order to make my point. In other words, what Mao Tse-tung did to even other communists to destroy them and to gain more power and to twist things, such as taking a great friend of his and to destroy him because he wanted more power, he accused him of, quote, being cunning in order to deceive the party into trusting him. And then he had hideous torture applied to him. I don't want to read what he did. Putting hot wires into their stomachs or thighs, bury them alive. The point was, is he sabotaged the local Red Communist leadership to present himself as the man who saved the country from them. So Obama now is presenting himself as the man who is saving us from terrorism while releasing terrorists to go back onto the battlefield, as happened with the last batch, as happened with his trade for Bergdahl, as will happen from the last monsters who should be executed at Guantanamo. You want to close Guantanamo? Execute all of the prisoners. Execute them by firing squad and close Guantanamo. But don't release them. So on another front of what's going on in front of your eyes on the Obama in Government Zero, I want to read you a news story. I'll bring it down home, baby. We'll do a 1960s, bring it all down home, baby. Obama's liberal agenda gets federally funded ride through the arts. Came out today, Washington Times. Taxpayers will be forking over $27 million in 2016 for federally funded arts projects, which include a performance by a San Francisco drag queen, art installations with climate change themes, and theater plays that showcase food stamps, Obama's immigration amnesty, lesbianism, and gun rights opposition. The so-called National Endowment for the Arts, which is nothing but a slush fund for the left-wing fanatics, gives out taxpayer money for so-called artistic endeavors across the nation. And they just announced their latest grants for fiscal 2016. People could not believe these grants. But then they are most, in some cases rather, in Nancy Pelosi's backyard, a woman who supports leather parades where people parade nakedly and beat each other up with whips. And so the grants include $10,000 for the world premiere of Cocked, a play about a pair of lesbians whose anti-gun attitudes are challenged when a relative comes to visit in Chicago. $30,000 to support a miniseries in San Francisco, Pelosi's backyard, entitled Gender in Transition by a Drag Queen. $35,000 for affordable housing and sustainable communities for San Francisco artists. That's an arts grant. $20,000 to support a series of public art presentations on the theme of climate change in Minneapolis. $30,000 to support the continuing development and production of Ping Chung Company's Kaleidoscope, Further Adventures in Pre- and Post-Racial America. And the so-called artists, who are nothing but government propagandists, develop a multidisciplinary work that is inspired, they say, in part by the killings of Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown. Are you following the drift of what I'm saying to you? The NEA, it's not about wasteful government spending. It's part of Obama's agenda, which is to pervert all of our culture. Remember I say borders, language, culture? Now do you understand the culture side of it? This is not just about wasteful government spending. This is about perverting our culture completely. Now the projects you may see as cringeworthy or absurd, but to a man like Obama and the idiots and the maniacs and the psychos, the America haters who surround him, this is a good use of taxpayer money. This is what a Nancy Pelosi likes. This is the kind of art that they like. Now, we all criticize the art that appeared during Stalin's time in Russia. We criticize the art that appeared in Germany, Nazi Germany under Hitler, don't we? We all said it was this, we said it was that. But to see the travesty of this kind of art, lesbians, drag queens, climate change propaganda, while our veterans are neglected and begging for help, and you support this crazy man? This is the same administration that has destroyed science, math, engineering, and medicine in the country. Science, math, and engineering are at an all-time low in the United States of America. Instead, they're giving money to fund drag queens making a mockery of America. Thank you, Paul Ryan, who I affectionately call Obama's beard, since it goes along with this theme of his liberal agenda. Now, so how do I tie this all together? I started by talking about Obama, the madman, Mao Zedong, the madman. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. I showed you in black and white what the liberal agenda is doing to our arts in this country. And I'm trying to tie it together for you. And then I'm asking you a simple question, which is, what do you fear Obama's going to do before he leaves office, if he leaves office? Since the man is unstoppable, why should he leave office? If the man can get away with anything, why should he not just extend his term in office and nullify the elections of 2016 based on some national emergency which he creates? He could easily create a national emergency, couldn't he? Lincoln did it. Didn't his hero Abraham Lincoln suspend habeas corpus? Abraham Lincoln was a fascist dictator. I've told you that before. You may glorify him and make him into something he wasn't. Do it at your own risk. Lincoln was a fascist dictator. I have spent hours researching the dictatorship of Abraham Lincoln. And I try to put it into Government Zero, but it fell on many people's on deaf ears, because their minds are made up. They're not flexible. They're not open. And the reason I mention Abraham Lincoln is because he's one of Obama's role models. If Lincoln can suspend habeas corpus, if Lincoln can arrest journalists, what's to stop the maniac from doing it? What's to stop the snake from suspending elections for only 90 days, for example? For example, the maniac can orchestrate a terrorist attack. They could do that overnight. Can't? Well, they just did one in wherever it was. Southern California. I can't remember the town, honestly. It's not, like, high on my list. The shooting attack. There's every reason to believe the government knew these people would go off. Every reason in the world. They claim they weren't monitoring that Muslim maniac's social media postings. Bull. Bull. They monitored every last one of them. They knew she was a jihadist. They're just covering it up. They knew who he and her were. Maybe they didn't know exactly the where and when, but they knew they were going to perform an act of terror, and they did so. So what is to prevent a huge event from occurring just before the election so Obama can declare a national emergency and suspend the elections temporarily only for 90 days? This is how he would do it. He would say we're going to have to suspend elections for only 90 days because a part of the power grid went out and we can't count the votes. So for the safety and sake of America and Americans, and your national security is our most important product, we have Mr. Clapper here to the right. We have my national security team, my great national security team around me. There's Mr. Clapper. Here's Jay Johnson. This wonderful, superb list of individuals are making certain that an attack like this never happens again. We're going to get to the bottom of it. We're going to study it. We're going to have a blue ribbon commission to make sure this never happens again. In the interim, we're going to suspend your vote just for 90 days until we can get that grid back up to count those votes. I'm Barack Hussein Obama, and I approve of this message. Have a nice day. Michelle and I are going off to Vail. We'll take a nice ski vacation while the votes are being counted. You say, okay, it's a fantasy. You've had a lot of fun. You know, it's a fantasy, is it? Okay, I'll read you another story. I'll show you the fantasy. See, as a child, I love puzzles. I love big puzzles. The more pieces, the better. First I started with, you know, a few pieces of a puzzle, as a little kid does, an infant. I don't know how old I was. Who knows? I'm not trying to prove anything, but I like puzzles. So, in the beginning, you give a kid a puzzle with 10 pieces, and you kind of show him how to put it together so with a picture that he understands what the picture is of. Let us say of a flower, or that may be too complicated, a milk bottle a kid could understand, right? So you take the 10 pieces and you show your child how when you stick them together, it creates the milk bottle, recreates the milk bottle, and the kid goes, wow, he learns to think. That's how you teach creativity and thinking. So then I would work from all the way up to thousands of pieces. I like big puzzles that sat for weeks. And this is what I do now in radio. I have puzzles all over my studio. I'm working on 3 books and other projects and film projects and this and that. All of them have their own place, and all the pieces are sitting next to these things. They're like clocks that are waiting to be assembled, or whatever you want to call them. And so, therefore, one of the pieces I've been trying to put together is censorship. Remember in the last few days we've been talking about Mark Zuckerberg and what an all-around evil man he is, in our opinion. How he censored, how he had his little fascist minions censor a post that I put up on the Michael Savage Facebook account, which showed Muslims marching with signs in front of the Norwegian embassy back in 06, saying that they would take over Britain, kill people, bring back the Holocaust. And he took those pictures down, right? Here's one that I dug up, and I was working on this puzzle of where does Zuckerberg stand? Why doesn't Zuckerberg close down the social networks of jihadis? I kept asking, why does this greedy man not be forced? Why is he not forced by the government to close down the jihadi networks? So I found this article. Angela Merkel caught on hot mic griping to Facebook CEO over anti-immigrant posts. CNBC.com 9/27/15. German Chancellor Angela Merkel was overheard confronting Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg over incendiary posts on the social network. Bloomberg reported on Sunday, amid complaints from her government about anti-immigrant posts in the midst of Europe's refugee crisis. On the sidelines of a UN luncheon on Saturday, Merkel was caught on a hot mic pressing Zuckerberg about social media posts about the wave of Syrian refugees entering Germany, the publication reported. The Facebook CEO was overheard responding, quote, we need to do some work, unquote, on curtailing anti-immigrant posts about the refugee crisis. Are you working on this? Merkel asked in English, to which Zuckerberg replied in the affirmative before the transmission was disrupted. In recent weeks, hundreds of thousands of Syrian refugees have washed up on Europe's shores seeking asylum from the raging civil war in their homeland. And it goes on. Earlier this month, Facebook vowed to clean up what it deemed was racist content on the German version of its website. At the time, the social network said it would partner with a nonprofit group to oversee hate postings. Yet any action from Facebook is likely to stoke concerns about free speech. In the past, the social network has come under suspicion for suppressing or deleting posts and groups that advocate unpopular beliefs. Well, guess what? Michael Savage is proud to tell you that while I was also banned in Britain, I'm the only member of the American media proudly banned by this false government now running England. I've also been sort of modified. My posts have been modified by Zuckerberg's evil minions. Why am I telling you this? Why? Instead of saying that he'll be working on stopping the postings of Arabs and others who are plotting to destroy Western civilization, instead of the communist, potato-faced, evil witch, Merkel, telling Zuckerberg, her cohort, to stop the jihadists from posting how they're going to kill the West, how they're going to impose Sharia law. They talk about repressing those who would like to stop the jihadists. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So I have to make another point that I made a couple of weeks ago that went over everyone's head. I think it's one of my most interesting points. Hitler invaded other countries, and we all know he was evil. That's a given. History has judged Hitler to be evil. He invaded other countries. He did terrible things. Merkel and Obama are invading their own nation with foreigners. They are just as crazy. For the same ends that Hitler wanted, which was the domination and control. Oh, let's just say for the same reasons of domination and control. Merkel and Obama, for domination and control, are invading their own nations. In this case, with Chinese, with Mexicans, and with Arabic-speaking Muslims. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640.
The issue of reviewing social media for those who are obtaining visas, I think, may have gotten garbled a little bit.
Garbled?
Because there may be...
Garbled?
It's important to distinguish between posts that are public, social media on a Facebook page.
You listen to the double talker and the
versus
liar.
Versus private communications through various social media.
This is beyond
apps.
Comprehension. Any other president would have been impeached or at least fired his head of DHS, his head of CIA. He would have fired his entire intelligence apparatus. So they ask the liar about how did you not catch the two Muslims who committed the massacre in San Bernardino when they were boasting they were going to be doing something like it on social media for years, for God's sake. You're monitoring conservatives. You're snooping in on every conservative in America. You liar, you. You got the NSA spying on every domestic enemy, and you don't listen to the Muslims plotting to blow us up. They didn't say that, though. They let him get away with it because they're afraid of the snake. All the little men and women in the press corps are useless. They're like Mao Zedong's Red Guards with a laptop. Think of Jake Tapper in a blue uniform with a red star. Think of anyone in the media wearing a blue uniform with a red star. And now you'll know what I mean by beware the government media complex. A speech I gave in 1998.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yes, indeedy. Keep unemployment high by bringing millions of illegal aliens who don't work. Increase the welfare state. Increase the votership for the socialist machine. You get what's going on? I mean, there's a revolt going on in the country. You have a revolutionary administration But the problem for most people is they can't put the pieces together. You have a Marxist revolutionary in the White House. You say, that's impossible. He has not taken over the means of production. He has not taken over the means of distribution. Well, you're right. In a limited sense, you are correct. But you're wrong in the bigger sense. Because those were the means of controlling a population in Russia in 1915, 16, 17, was production and distribution. But now it's 100 years later and we're living in the United States of America. You don't need to take over the means of production and distribution to control the population. He's controlling the population by taking over the media, by taking over every aspect, every avenue of the government, every aspect of the media. He owns it all. He owns it all. He owns Zuckerberg, lock, stock, and barrel. Now, you may think that Zuckerberg's worth $56 billion and he's independent. He wouldn't last one second if he stepped out of line with regard to this administration. He'd be out of business so fast, you couldn't even say the word Marky Boy. You couldn't even say Marky Boy before he'd be out of business. But because he is a useful tool of the most power-mad president in American history, he thrives and makes more money than ever. The same is true for Bill Gates. The same is true for everyone else making billions of dollars right now. They are tools of the government. If they weren't useful tools of the government, they wouldn't last a day. So what does it have to do with the price of wheat or of eggs? Maybe nothing, maybe something. If you just tuned in, it's hard to follow me. Many of you who listen to this, who are driving around in a car in between shopping, I mean, after all, Christmas is just around the corner, right? It's next week, and your mind is supposed to be on, I don't know, what's it supposed to be on? Santa Claus? Mickey Mouse? Donald Duck? A fat white man coming down a chimney in a red suit? I don't know what it's supposed to be. Must you shut your mind off around this time of year with the shopping frenzy? You know, as a former anthropologist in one of my iterations for a number of years, I spent years as an anthropologist. I guess once an anthropologist, always an anthropologist. Anthropology is just the study of people, is what it comes down to. So I had the opportunity of living in villages in the South Pacific and studying what you'd call village society. Primitive. It's not primitive in that sense, but village society, which was quite different than our society at the time. And you learn certain things about human beings in such settings. Marriage. You have to read all of the great Malinowski and all the others to understand anthropology. Those of you who studied it know what I'm talking about. In fact, one of the great books is The Savage Mind, La Pensée Sauvage, which I had to read in the original French in a seminar one summer with a Harvard professor who was in the university. I was his only student. I swear to God, he made me read The Savage Mind in the original French and discuss it with him, La Pensée Sauvage. I'll never forget it. It was written by Claude Lévi-Strauss. That was long before the age of Savage on the radio. The Savage Mind was already being discussed. But the point I'm making is if you study the primitive mind, the semi-primitive mind, or the primitive mind, and I've always been interested in the more authentic base mind rather than the modified minds of our time, you come to certain conclusions. But things remain the same, whether it's on a village level or an international level. There's average people who want to be left alone to do what they want to do, which is hunt and fornicate, basically. And then there are exceptional people who want to create things, the artists, whether they be in a village or a nation. And then there are the power mad, those who want to control everybody else, the insane. I would say anyone who wants to rule over people are crazy. I don't care who they are. Anyone who wants to rule over others is insane by definition. I have no desire. I work alone. I mean, I have two great guys in Dallas. I see them on a computer screen. I don't even meet these wonderful guys. I don't like to work with people because I don't like people interfering with my thinking. I like to find answers wherever I have to go. And believe me, I can find more answers on the internet than I ever found in talking to people. How many people can you actually talk to? How many people can you actually talk to get original ideas in your average day, week, or month? Very hard. What, are you going to walk the streets and look for an intelligent person? You're going to find an intelligent person in a bar? No. Rarely. Probably never. Okay, so you're going to go to a university and you're going to find really brilliant minds who are teaching you to get rid of the First Amendment, teaching you that there's a thing called white privilege, teaching you that man and woman are an extinct species, they don't even exist, there's no differential between man and woman. That's what you want from the universities today? So I don't really need to go to the university to find ideas. I can find them in ways I could never imagine before. I don't really even have to leave my house to have conversations with the most brilliant minds or find the most interesting things on earth right in my own, the comfort of my own house and in my own pajamas. But there's certain things that never change, whether it's on a village level or on a national level, which there are power-mad people. Right now we have the most power-mad person in the history of this country getting away with virtually anything he wants. Anything. Anything. She says, okay, well, we know that. Now can we move on? Now tell us a dog story. Now let's move on. Tell me a dog story. Give me an inspirational story. Robert, do we have that inspirational piece that someone posted on YouTube? I thought it was pretty good. I didn't even know anyone did this. Someone loves me so much that they took one of my monologues from December 15th, and it just came out of me. I don't know where these things come from, honest to God. Honest to God, they come from God is where they come from. I'm going through a very low point right now. I got to admit it to you. I don't have a high inspiration. I'm working on my Teddy book. I'm working on another big project. I'm working on all of my films from years ago, the 8mm film project. It's been a 5-year project. I am working on putting together my writings going back to 1966. I'm working on a new journal book with WorldNet Daily. I'm doing an awful lot, to be honest with you. These are all the puzzles I have around my studio. Each one of these projects has its own table. This is how I found to do things, by the way. A little hint for those of you out there who are awed by my abilities. Create a table, a separate table for each project, and lay it out on the table. But don't clutter the table with 3 projects at once, because you're liable to get nothing done. I'm telling you how it works. You can't mix the puzzles together. If you set up a table just for this project, another one for that project, I mean, you need a space for it, obviously. But what's a house for? What do you need thing? What do you need, a couch in your house for? What? Or maybe you're normal and you have people come over. I don't. So instead of a sofa, I have another desk. If I could, I'd get rid of my bed and put another desk in my bedroom. The way things are going, every room in my house has got another project on it. And I have more projects than I have desks. I don't know what to do. I have to get a bigger house. But I don't have the time or the patience to look for a bigger house. They're all cluttered anyway. Every dwelling I have, wherever it may be, Los Angeles or Florida, it's the same thing. Cluttered to death with my projects. I don't know how I get it all done, but somehow it all comes together. So somebody listening to this show heard me give an inspiring speech on the 15th of December. I haven't listened to it. I hope it's not an embarrassment and a setup, Robert. So as you play it, they say it's Michael Savage inspirational talk. If it gets off the track or they've done something to it, we'll cut it, okay? Let's play it raw. Let's hear it. Where is it? I intend to make this day forward the first day of the rest of my life. We can change our lives. You say, well, what's wrong with your life, Michael? Well, it's not that there's anything wrong with my life, but it's not what I want it to be. I don't feel that I'm inspiring people in the way I want to inspire them. You see, you can inspire through hate. You can inspire through love, hope, humor, the positives. I look at the history of the world, and I look at the world today, and I realize that if we don't inspire each other through positive attributes, love, hope, and humor, we're going to descend into the barbarism of the left and the barbarism of ISIS. You like me to be hard. You like me to be tough. You like me to give you the breaking news. You like me to be cynical. You like me to be analytical. You like me to give you stuff that you don't hear anyone else. I get that. But there's a limit to that. There's a lot of area beyond all of that. I think of Christmas. Christianity is the religion of peace. Christianity is the true religion of peace. Turn the other cheek. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These are messages that come from Christianity. What can you do in an age of deceit and lies and terror? You can go to church again. However unneeding you think you really are, you know in your heart that there's something missing in you. You know that you crave something greater. Because the human being is not a dog. We are unique creatures. And we We need something different than the bear, the dog, the snake, and the eagle. What is that thing that we need? It's that thing called God. The media has promulgated the idea and promoted the idea that we only need food and fornication. And so when people are empty, that's what they seek. And when they're really empty, what happens? They become drug addicts. They start with marijuana, they end up with heroin, crack, you name it. As God has been driven out of America, drugs have entered America. What does an empty soul look to do? An empty soul looks to fill itself. Just as an empty vessel needs to be filled with a liquid to be complete. An empty human being needs to fill itself to be complete. And how does it fill itself? I know, again, many of you will laugh because you're cynical. It's through those things I'm talking about, inspiration. Do you think a musician can play one day without inspiration from somewhere? The greatest artists in the history of the world were not drug addicts. They were usually God addicts. Look at the greatest art in history. You'll find most of them were super religious people who literally saw God in their living room. And then took the power of God and then was transmitted through the paintbrush or through that piece of marble. How could a man like Rodin take a piece of inert stone and inside that stone see the essence of a human form and sculpt from that block of inert stone of marble the portrait of a human being that looks so real? 100 years later, I go and look at them in the museum, and literally inside that carved eye, I can see the person. How is that possible? How? It's a different show than I've ever done in my 21 years, because each day to me, I must tell you, I see as my last day on earth.
Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Now, I didn't know that that had been put on YouTube. I found it on my Facebook account today. Apparently, a gentleman named Michael Sestak heard my show, extracted that from it, put music to it, and posted it on YouTube. And I'm going to put it up on my own Facebook account as a piece, because a lot of people are freaking out how good it was. And I just got an email from a man I really like. He's a friend of mine, Brian Sussman from KSFO, fills in for me from time to time. And he says, you need to repost that on Facebook and YouTube. Moving, inspirational, be well and God bless you. Pulled off the road to send this. And I got to tell you something. I had not heard it. I didn't rehearse it to play it and send it, blah, blah, blah. But someone posted it. I figured, well, let's give it a shot. It's inspirational, and I want to get off the topic of politics for a minute. And truthfully, I realize now, I remember when I did it, I was talking about inspiration, and I found the transcript of it in the dog book I'm doing. That will be part of my dog book. It's a long part of... But it's not set to music. And it started with my voice and my ability to move crowds as my gift, but also my burden. This power of the magical voice, etc. And I go on to inspiration. And I say I don't feel that I'm inspiring people in the way I want to inspire them. And I spend a number of words. And boy, someone can take these words and do things like that. It's amazing. The power of production. It just shows you production values. If you know what to edit and how to put it together. And how to set it to music. It's amazing. My suspicion is this will outlast a lot of the other work I've ever done. This inspirational message could last an awful long time because it moved me and I didn't even know I had done it. Karen on WBOB, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, that was so inspirational. I just can't tell you. This week, this just rounds out the week for me. I started out Monday morning praying for you specifically. I was praying for wisdom for you, Dr. Savage. And I just felt a burden, and I kept praying for wisdom every day this week. And somehow I missed that monologue. But I want to tell you a really quick story that makes us all one big circle. Because during the week, I was so depressed over all the political turmoil and what's going on in our country. story, I read a scripture that talked about hope, and it gave me hope. And in the meantime, I sent a Christmas card to someone I met in Montana. I live in Virginia. I met someone
Karen,
in Montana.
I have to interject. Now, I don't mean to cut you off, but I have almost no time in this segment, and I want to summarize what you're saying and what I'm saying. First of all, God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show and hearing my message, and I'm sending you a Christmas gift of my book, Government Zero, absolutely free. It's my gift to you. But I have to expound a little bit on this for a moment, on inspiration. Well, these are the darkest times I've ever lived through. I am totally and absolutely depressed, not for personal reasons, but for political reasons. I have never been burdened with a heavier weight than I am living under the iron boot of Barack Hussein Obama. I have never seen anything like this. The effect upon me is overwhelming. And I'm the kind of man who generally creates out of despair. I create from the point of despair. I create from depression. I create from darkness. I don't reach for a pill because I don't have any. I reach deep into the well of my soul, because it seems to be bottomless. It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about a lot of different things. If you just tuned in, I can't repeat all of it every time we come back. But I have an announcement to make. It's not a pleasant announcement for those of you in two markets. It's going to be very disappointing for those of you in Dallas and those of you in Albuquerque, but I have no control over this. In Albuquerque, I'm being taken off KKOB radio and being moved to KTBL. I think that starts on Monday. And in Dallas, which I've come to love for no reason, I cannot understand, my ratings are sky high. They just moved me to a third hour a few months ago, but for reasons only the geniuses high up in the clouds can understand, I'm being moved off WBAP in Dallas. You'll have to find me on KLIF, which will be 570 on the dial. So I'll still be in Dallas, but it's a different signal, and I will still be in Albuquerque on a different signal for reasons that make no sense to me whatsoever. But that's the way the cookie crumbles. That's the way the ball bounces. And for those of you who still want to find the show, I'm sure you will. So tell your friends. WABC, Nick, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I would first like to comment on the art when you discussed. They continue discrediting of American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. This was a communist goal a long time ago, and it was written in 1960. They want to eliminate all good sculpture from parks, buildings, and pictures, substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. And apropos of that, your monologue brought tears to my eyes because it shows that there's nothing like hope. And when you bring up the Lord, and the Lord, whether it's Judeo-Christian principles, you inspire people to continue not to listen to you, but inspire them and know there is hope. And there are those, many of us, out there fighting for what is right and just. God bless you. As a chaplain, all I can say is God bless you.
Nick, I don't have any answer to your comments. You know, I would be revising my own comments to comment on your comments. I'm glad that you heard it. I'm glad that it inspires you to keep going. I'm glad you see the degradation of our society for what it is, and you're not fooled by the snake in the White House, nor his perverted minions, who have ruined virtually every aspect of this great society. They have destroyed, no different than ISIS knocking down the great temples of Palmyra. Obama and his Red Guards have taken a hammer, sledgehammers, to virtually every aspect of our great society. I stand by those words. And they have another year left to dismember everything that's left. That's the frightening part, because we know now, after yesterday, seeing the shameful nature of this Paul Ryan, this quisling Paul Ryan, the beard for Obama, that there's nothing to stop the steamrolling of our society. Okay, Chaplain, Nick, sending you a copy of Government Zero. Maybe you'll enjoy that for the Christmas holidays. So again, why do people get depressed around the holidays? Because they do. You may not know this. You know, this is kind of well known in the psychiatric circles, in therapy circles. People get very depressed around the holidays. And no one wants to talk about it because you think everyone else is happy. You see the other woman in your neighborhood rushing off in her Volvo or whatever they're driving today. I don't know. They're not even driving Volvos. Who knows what the car of choice is? If it's one neighborhood, it's the Saab. If it's another neighborhood, it's the Mercedes. If it's another neighborhood, it's the Jeep. I don't know what it is. But you see the other woman, the other soccer mom, if you want to call her that. I don't even think that's a phrase that works anymore. And she looks happy. She's busier than a beaver, picking up the cute little kids. And you seem to be anguished inside. There's something wrong. You don't feel good. You feel depressed. You feel harried. It's not right. It doesn't feel right. But you got to, you know, put a big smile on and keep going. Be a big old, you know, keep trucking along there. And you think you're the only one who gets depressed around the holidays. It's actually a national epidemic. And you ask therapists, they're probably busier this week than they are the rest of the year. Why? Why do people get depressed around the Christmas holidays? Oh, there are so many reasons. I can enumerate some of them. One is that you don't have the happiness that you thought you would have. You waited for all year and you don't feel any different. In fact, you feel worse. You have less time for yourself. Maybe you have less money than you thought you'd have and you can't buy that present for Aunt Minnie or whatever. You can't get the kids the clothing that you wanted to get them. You can't buy yourself anything. You have nothing left for yourself. Those are the things that on a material level would make you unhappy, but that's not what I'm talking about because it's fundamentally different than that. It's not even about money because I've seen people very happy with almost no money. And, of course, the opposite is true. It doesn't mean that, you know, my mother used to joke, even though we were poor. She used to joke her old jokes. She always had her little jokes. Rich or poor, it's good to have money. I mean, it didn't mean anything, but it made me laugh. What do you mean, Ma? Rich or poor, it's good to have money. Okay, she made a point. Yeah, even if you're rich, it's good to have money. And if you're poor, it's good to have money. Right, but it's not the answer. We know money can't buy happiness. We know all of that. Or as the Beatles said, can't buy me love. So is it love that's missing? Well, in America today, there's less brotherly love than ever in history. I've never seen anything like this. I certainly wasn't around to live through the Civil War, but I imagine during the Civil War there was this much hatred as promoted by this fiend. The man, I think I finally found the right word. It's not snake. It's not thin smoker. He's a pure fiend. The man is fiendish in virtually everything he undertakes. The man is so deceitful it frightens people who actually know what he's saying. He lets the jihadists get away with the murder they committed by not permitting those in the intelligence community to monitor social messages. And the fiend gives a speech today before dashing off on his vacation, telling us that he did that because he had legitimate concerns for their privacy. You hear this? Then the fiend says he's going to release people from Guantanamo because it's become a recruitment center for the jihadists. He could just shoot those in Guantanamo because we know that they're the worst of the worst. Just hang them. Shoot them in a firing squad and send a message out there. If that's how that's the American way. We're going to shoot you if we catch you committing terrorism. He could do that and then close Guantanamo. I have no problem with that. Why pump any money into the dictator's economy? But that's not the reason. It's not politics. Although there is an element of political dissent that is causing a lot of depression. But beyond that, people get depressed during holiday times. And it has to do with the expectations. It has to do with the forced family get-togethers. It has to do with the fear that you're going to fail at the family gathering. You have the fears that you're going to get together and not really feel good about your family. They're not going to feel good about you. You know it's true. Robert, am I wrong about this? Or am I just an old codger who sees things this way? No, I don't know. That's my viewpoint. I mean, I was younger at a certain point in my life, obviously. I felt the same way when I was younger. The holidays are very difficult on a person's emotions. And then you have the normal issues of the SAD, the light situation. I think they should get rid of daylight saving time. I mean, I used to like that it got dark at 4:30 when I was a boy in the Bronx. Why? Because my mother put me to sleep and said it was nighttime. I didn't know. She didn't like this energetic little boy. She wanted him to go to sleep because I was causing trouble by being too alive. All right, that was her problem. That was her problem to turn me into a little sleeper. I sleep an awful lot now. In fact, one of my survival techniques, my entire life, I have used sleep as therapy for my entire life, ever since I've been 20 years old. I never talked about it. I spent a lot of time in bed. A lot of time in bed. I'm glad to see that Mao Zedong conducted a lot of his business in bed. In fact, he would often not leave his bed. I read that he summoned ministers to his bedroom at 4:30 in the morning or 3:30 and conducted national business while in bed. Okay, now that's a funny statement if you've been following the Mao Zedong speech that I gave you earlier. But the fact is, bed is not a bad place. Winston Churchill used his bed very well, by the way, and his bathtub. So don't underestimate the power of rest, total sleep. It's probably the greatest cure there is for all of the jitters of the holiday season and the other techniques that we know work. But it's really a spiritual issue, isn't it, around the holidays? What is it that people get agitated about the holidays? For example, let's take the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah. It's a child's holiday. It's not a biblical holiday. It's not even in the Bible. It was an invention. Like, all religions have invented holidays. Christmas is an invention, for example, of the Christian religion that has no validity in historical, no basis in historical reality, because nobody knows the actual birth date of Jesus. I mean, I've studied this. Don't get mad at me. All educated Christians know that December 25th was an invented date. And it was invented, by the way, by the church fathers, I believe, in the 10th or 11th century, when a Persian religion was sweeping the world and threatened to take over the whole Christian world. I forget the Mithraism. It was the Mithraism. All right. I remember my theology. The Mithraism was threatening to overtake Christianity as the most popular religion of its time. And so the church fathers went into the marketing mode, and they said, we got to match those guys. They have a winter festival with lights. We better do something. They light candles. They put them on trees. We got nothing. It's horrendous. The churches are cold. They're dark. The people have nothing to look forward to. We better come up with a myth. So they came up with the myth of December 25th. They came up with the lights, and there it is. Now, you think I made that up. Go and check it out. If you're offended, I'm sorry, but reality is sometimes offensive. But that's the reality of the invention of Christmas. That doesn't invalidate the whole concept of Christmas, but it does create a little reality for you, and it may be part of the reason that you feel disconnected from reality during the Christmas holiday, because you are disconnected from reality. Then, of course, there's the spending insanity. This is similar to, I mean, it's grotesque, the spending insanity, the conspicuous consumption, the stupidity of walking in a department store and buying crap that you don't really need. I mean, I did. I bought myself a pair of gloves last week, even though I have three pair I don't even wear. I felt like buying myself a gift, so I bought a new pair of driving gloves. Then I got them in the car, and I realized that they're too thin. They're nice. They look great. But I'd rather stick with the gloves that I have that are thicker with a lining for driving. So I put the other gloves. I don't know where to put them under the Christmas tree. I'll give them away to a bum someday. You buy things you don't even need. It's part of the holiday tradition, spending like a drunk sailor, even though there are no drunk sailors anymore. They're driven out of the Navy. Maybe we need some drunk sailors to kill the enemy. I don't know, but that's a separate story. Maybe that's what would do the trick, is get some drunk sailors to, you know, fire some Tomahawk missiles at some training camps in the Middle East. That might just be the trick that we need. If we had enough drunk sailors raiding the munitions rooms or the command centers in their ships and firing missiles at the enemies in the Middle East, I wonder what would happen if they actually did it autonomously. But anyway, that's just a thought. When I was an anthropologist, as I said earlier, I meant to stay on that track, talking about these grotesque spending habits of ours during the holidays. I studied the New Guinea Highlanders. And a strange thing happens once a year. They raise pigs all year. They fatten them up all year. And then on one day, they go crazy. To us, they go crazy. They have a gigantic pig slaughter. They kill every pig in the village, virtually every pig. And they gorge on pork. Don't tell the Muslims about that, because they're liable to try to introduce Sharia law. And let me tell you something about New Guinea Highlanders. If any Muslim goes up into the Sepik River region, even today, and tries to convert them to Islam and tells them not to eat pork, they'll wind up being long pig themselves, if you know what I'm saying. But the thing is, they did the same thing we do. They have this gigantic orgy of spending. Same thing as we do. We have this orgy of spending. It's a kind of letting of the blood is what the spending really is. So don't be ashamed. In fact, I'd recommend you go out and spend more. You might feel better. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Well, as we come to the end of hour two, I have another announcement to make for those of you who are lucky enough to have the show for a third hour. The inspirational piece that we played from YouTube that was put together by the listener, Michael Sestak, will be played in the next hour. So if you haven't heard it, you're going to hear it, and we're going to talk about inspiration. But the main question is, what do you fear Obama's going to do before he leaves office because of the fact that he has absolute power right now with no one stopping him at any turn? He is going to bring in more Muslims in the next year than I care to tell you about. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Oh, really? What's wrong with that? In a time of terror, you bring in Muslims? Just on the face of it, does that make sense to you? Let's put aside the issues of racism, fears of racism, the specter of racism. Why would you bring in practitioners of a religion amongst whom there are too many practitioners of terrorism? Is that clear enough for you? Now, don't tell me about David Duke, please. And don't bring him up again. They're gone. They're not plotting to blow up a school. Why would you bring more of them in? Where is the mystery answer to this question? Okay? Now, I want to go back to Mithraism because you're going to look it up on your own tonight. It's part of the final exam, which is going to be given next week before Christmas Eve. Remember I told you that Mithras, the Persian god Mithra, which was adapted into Greek as Mithras, which was a mystery religion practiced in the Roman Empire from about the 1st to 4th centuries A.D., and it competed with early Christianity, and it grew tremendously into the amongst the Persians, and known amongst historians as Mithraism. I want you to look it up over the weekend and study it, because it's going to be on your final exam on the Savage Nation. And there's reasons for it. The reasons are because I want you to be an educated person, so you don't simply live in the two doxies of Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. Maybe if you opened your mind, and blew the circuits and went beyond the reasonable part of the brain, went outside the reason without medication, you might open up your brain to the waves that are sweeping over America outside of the forces of our mind. That's not bad, Mayor, do late night radio. I don't know, one day when I leave talk radio, I may do a religious radio on the internet. Maybe I'll have fun doing that. Maybe you'll hear the real prophet come out. Because God sees the truth but waits, and God's hand is behind everything that's ever happened in my life. Everything in my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I've seen God's hand. Hand or hands, it doesn't matter whether he did it with one hand or two hands or 20 hands. There's certainly a greater power than I. That's all I want to say to you, and it's not you. the mysteries of Mithras, the mysteries of the Persians. The mysteries of the Persians continue to confound us, don't they? How the Persians have such power and persuasion over this White House is quite a myth, and it isn't Mithraism either. It's Jaredism.
The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
With such deceit and such hatred roiling the nation, black against white, white against black, gay against straight, straight against gay, Christian against Muslim, Muslim against Christian, Muslim against Jew, Muslim against Hindu, straight against gay, tall against short, smart against stupid, stupid against smart. It's not, there's no cynicism in it. It doesn't work anymore. It can never play today with this age. The drug children, they wouldn't listen to that. Let's try one more from another era. Johnny and Joe over the mountain across the sea. It's so sweet that I think it wouldn't even make it out of the starting gate today. Let's listen to this piece, Over the Mountain and Across the Sea, by Johnny and Joe. The United States of America today, in an age of such dissension and hatred. I guess the young still find each other, get married, and dream of a future, and try to build a family. Oh, well, let's move on. Nothing to see here. So today we've talked about Obama, the power-mad president. I compared him to Mao Zedong. He's showing all the signs of a psychopath. He's gotten everything that he's wanted and then some. I called him Obama for the third or fourth time. I gave you a brief history of Mao Zedong. And I talked about just as Mao has destroyed symbols of China, Obama is destroying symbols of America. I read from Government Zero. I said we do not have a party to represent us. I talked about the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, phrases I coined in 94. And I said you have to look at the overall picture of Mao and Obama to understand what I'm saying, which is that Obama has almost absolute power right now. And I asked you, what do you fear he's going to do in the time that remains? And I talked about how he could keep power. I talked about a false flag event. I talked about a false flag event just before the elections, and how he says that we need 90 days to straighten out the power grid. We cannot have an election in November because the power grid has gone down in too many segments of America where so many minorities exist. Their votes won't be counted. And therefore, we absolutely have to delay the election at least 90 days, during which time I will have temporary power to retain the presidency under Article 43,974,000, written by myself, Nancy Pelosi, and Paul Ryan in the middle of the night in a toilet somewhere in Washington. And under that rule, written by ourselves, while high on our power, we have decreed there will be no elections in November of 2016, and I will retain power temporarily now. This is not a power grab by any means. This is an attempt to avoid a power grab by a demonic individual, he would say. In order to avoid further chaos, in order to avoid further terror, we're going to suspend elections until, well, March of 2017. I'm just going to change it because I am Barack Obama. See, you're going on vacation right now. We have a date in Vail, Colorado for an early spring ski vacation. Okay, so that's what we talked about. But now we're not going to talk about that. No, we're through talking about that. We're going to talk about other stuff. We're going to talk about inspiration. So let's go to Annette on WMAL in Washington. Annette, what's on your mind?
I just want to commend you because I'm a new listener to your program. And I was coming home from work because I got off early today. And I was saying, Lord, this man's got to be saved because you were hitting nails on the head. I'm an end-time judgment prophetess, and I'm hooked up with a few other people in the country. And
Whoa, hold it. You got my attention. An anti-judgment prophetess?
Time.
Please, wait, hold ma'am, you lost me. What do you mean by anti-judgment prophetess?
E-N-D, time.
In the end times, there will be what?
We're in the last days, but again, that which you spoke and you just briefly went through it again, I have been prophesying from day one when I first laid eyes on this president. The Lord showed me he was a vessel used to bring this country to total financial disaster. But coming down the line, as you have said, what would be our worst fears that he would stay in office? It's going to happen. The Lord showed me a disaster is coming to the country. I've been warning people for 2 years that this was going to happen, and he was not going to leave the office. And that's why I said, this man got to be saved, because you were prophesying. And again, myself and others were on the country.
My dear new listener, how do you know I haven't already been saved?
I heard the little monologue where you were speaking about God, and I said, well, you got to be saved.
Yeah, but I've been saved. Honey, I've been saved a long time ago. I was saved when I was born. I was saved.
No, again, I've only heard, I think this is the third time I've heard your program.
No, I don't mean I was saved in the Christian sense, but I've been saved as a soul many times in my life, is what I'm saying to you, Annette. I've had brushes, even as a child, and I know that I sometimes thought I actually died. Sometimes I imagine that I actually did die and this is all a dream. Did you ever have any of those thoughts?
Yes, and again, I want to also interject that...
Well, no, I want to have a dialogue with you. Since you are a prophetess, have you ever had the thoughts in that this is all a dream?
No, I know for that. I know that I know, because I'm one of the people, as you mentioned earlier, about the artists who actually seen the image of Christ come to them. I've seen Jesus face to face many times. I've been to paradise. So I know that I know that I know that which came out of your...
Look, all right, all I can say is I'm glad to have you as a listener. I need as many prophetesses as I can have at any one time. Annette, would you accept a Christmas gift from me, a copy of my best-selling book, Government Zero? I hope you will, because it's going out to you. If you'll stay on the line and give us your address, maybe you can share it with fellow prophetesses and prophets, because the book is quite prophetic, and it will profit you to read such a prophetic book. Peter Piper picked a pack of prophetic peppers. Sorry. All right, without further ado, I have a very, very big treat for you out there in Radioland. One of my listeners, who I don't know, Michael Sestak, heard my show of December 15th, where I was talking about inspiration. He set some music to it, and the music comes from The Last Samurai, I am told. It's only a few minutes long, and it struck a chord, and I believe it's now up on michaelsavage.com if you want to enjoy it over the weekend, but you're going to hear it right now on The Savage Nation. I intend to make this day forward the first day of the rest of my life. We can change our lives. You say, well, what's wrong with your life, Michael? Well, it's not that there's anything wrong with my life, but it's not what I want it to be. I don't feel that I'm inspiring people in the way I want to inspire them. You see, you can inspire through hate. You can inspire through love, hope, humor, the positives. I look at the history of the world, and I look at the world today, and I realize that if we don't inspire each other through positive attributes, love, hope, and humor, we're going to descend into the barbarism of the left and the barbarism of ISIS. You like me to be hard. You like me to be tough. You like me to give you the breaking news. You like me to be cynical. You like me to be analytical. You like me to give you stuff that you don't hear anyone else. I get that. But there's a limit to that. There's a lot of area beyond all of that. I think of Christmas. Christianity is the religion of peace. Christianity is the true religion of peace. Turn the other cheek. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These are messages that come from Christianity. What can you do in an age of deceit and lies and terror? You can go to church again. However unneeding you think you really are, you know in your heart that there's something missing in you. You know that you crave something greater, because the human being is not a dog. We are unique creatures, and we need something different than the bear, the dog, the snake, and the eagle. What is that thing that we need? It's the thing called God. Has promulgated the idea and promoted the idea that we only need food and fornication. And so when people are empty, that's what they seek. And when they're really empty, what happens? They become drug addicts. They start with marijuana and they end up with heroin, crack, you name it. As God has been driven out of America, drugs have entered America. What does an empty soul look to do? An empty soul looks to fill itself. Just as an empty vessel needs to be filled with a liquid to be complete, an empty human being needs to fill itself to be complete. And how does it fill itself? I know, again, many of you will laugh because you're cynical. It's through those things I'm talking about, inspiration. Do you think a musician can play one day without inspiration from somewhere? The greatest artists in the history of the world were not drug addicts. They were usually God addicts. Look at the greatest art in history. You'll find most of them were super religious people who literally saw God in their living room. And then took the power of God and then was transmitted through the paintbrush or through that piece of marble. How could a man like Rodin take a piece of inert stone. And inside that stone, see the essence of a human form. And sculpt from that block of inert stone, of marble, the portrait of a human being that looks so real. 100 years later, I go and look at them in the museum. And literally inside that carved eye, I can see the person. How is that possible? How? It's a different show than I've ever done in my 21 years. Because each day to me, I must tell you, I see as my last day, my last day on Earth.
The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIS. Despite the snake, we still have to go on with our life. William, Line 8, WBOB in Jacksonville, Florida. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind tonight, William?
Thank you, Dr. Savage, for being a light in this world of murkiness. I'm a longtime listener. I like this new trend. I like the inspirational Dr. Savage. And I just think we need, as you say, more positiveness. And you are such a very endowed with God-given talents. And if there's anybody that can turn it around, it's you. You have for me. And I just want to thank you for the inspiration.
Out of the muck, the lotus grows, is written in the Buddhist writings. Out of the muck, the lotus grows. And what that means to me, and it's something I learned 30 years ago, is that when we are in the deepest mud of our lives, or the deepest mud of America's history, we're close to the Civil War times in terms of politics, in terms of social upheaval, in terms of dissension between the races and between the people. This man has done such damage to the society. Out of the muck, the lotus grows. What that means is, William, out of this horrible situation, we can create a flower of a new America.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. And I look to you for guidance in this aspect of just dealing with the daily aspects of...
Well, that's right. That don't give up hope is what I'm saying. Because many people are on the verge of not only giving up, they don't know what to do. Many of them are... personally at the end of their ropes. They don't know what to do because of what this man is getting away with. You know, you say, well, what's he actually done? Well, let's put aside the dynamics of a $1.8 trillion budget, which is going to bust the economy in ways you can never imagine. This corrupt, evil Congress just voted to fund nearly 300,000 visas for Muslim migrants in only 1 year. And that's Nancy Pelosi and Paul Ryan's doing. Most Republicans went along with this. In addition to criminals in sanctuary cities being protected, in addition to his continued executive amnesty for illegal alien dreamers, in addition to paying for the resettlement of illegal aliens inside the United States, they supported money for 300,000 visas for Muslim migrants in 1 year when that jerk, Jay Johnson himself, the head of DHS, the other day admitted before Congress he cannot vet all of these people. He said, no, we can't do it. So they're telling us to get ready for more attacks. I understand why people are angry and depressed, because we have no representation. We're way beyond the Tea Party, my friend. We're way past the Tea Party. We don't need Boston Harbor. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be here the minute I return. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, so here it is. The Michael Savage Motivational is now all over YouTube. Another listener put it up. I'm going to post it directly on my Facebook, I think. It's right now on michaelsavage.com. An emailer writes, Leslie Cuss says, Michael, I'm so glad you're not taking 2 weeks off like most of the other talkers. I go through savage withdrawal enough on the weekends. If you took 2 weeks off, I would go crazy. It's bad enough I don't get you live, so I can't call in. I love your show, and your voice and message is so important to me. You're extra smart and satirical, and I enjoy each and every show. See, women understand satire. Men don't. Men don't get satire. I'll be honest with you. Satire is something most men don't get. Women like satire because women are satirical. They have to be in order to deal with men. But that's a joke for women. Women have learned the art of sarcasm really more than satire. Unless they really get nasty, then they use satire. No, the average woman can be sarcastic just on a regular. That's on the natch. It's like shooting from the hip every time is a sarcastic remark. But that's easy to do. But satire is another story. Sarcasm's easy, by the way. Anyone could do it. I mean, even Rachel Madcow does that. You know, that sophomoric sarcasm. You know, that everyone who's not her is bad. But satire is hard to do. What do you want to talk about in this hour? I'll tell you what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the snake a little bit more. I'm not through with the snake yet. So the snake gave a speech this morning where he's pleased as pie with getting his way. He worked with Pelosi behind the scenes with the cowards, the sellouts in the other party. The other branch of the Democrat Party. The weaker branch of the Democrat Party, called the Republicans, worked with him to pass this blowout of a budget, bring in 300,000 new Muslims in 1 year. And yet, he's now calling the carpet with he gives one little speech today, and one of the little men in the news media asks him some questions, which is, how did you let those two terrorists in San Bernardino get away with it when they were all over social media boasting that they were jihadis and were going to do it? So the snake spoke in falsetto, as you'll hear in clip 21. Listen.
The issue of reviewing social media for those who are obtaining visas, I think, may have gotten garbled a little bit.
Garbled?
Because there may be it's important to distinguish between
what a con man
that are public, social media on a Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, right.
Versus
right.
Private communications.
Yeah.
Through
yeah,
various
yeah, yeah.
social media or apps.
Yeah, right.
And our law enforcement and intelligence professionals.
Right. All right, you get the picture. He didn't want to monitor the Muslims because it would have violated their privacy rights. But he's monitoring any conservative. Remember, a Tea Party, you've been monitored from the day you came out of grade school. That's all. And the NSA has been monitoring you if you're a member of a Tea Party. If you're a member of any group that opposes communism, Marxism, socialism, anarchism, you've been monitored, my friend. That's all. But not if you're a Muslim plotting a bombing mission. No way. So now he says he's going to engage with the high-tech companies with Pimple Face himself. Listen, he's going to partner with Pimple Face now in clip 22. Listen to 22.
One of the things we'll be doing is engaging with the high-tech community to find out how we can, in an appropriate way, do a better job.
All right. Whenever you hear the stop it. The lies just come at us. It's like nausea. It's like vomit coming at us. Verbal diarrhea comes out of the. I can't take it anymore. How we can, in an appropriate way, do a better job? That's like telling the Air Force, don't drop your bombs. It's inappropriate to kill ISIS. It's not appropriate to kill them. All right, well, we're in for another one. We're like masochists to take this anymore. It's like a nation of masochists. We're like a bunch of beaten spouses is what we become under this maniac. Beaten spouses waiting for him to hit us again. We have no defense. What defense do we have against this maniac and his desire to harm the country and harm us? I hate to go back to that. Who would bring in 300,000 Muslims in a time of terror? Tell me what sense that makes. I want one progressive liberal, a sane one now, not an insane one, a sane one to tell me why you'd bring in 300,000 Muslims on green cards in 2016, in the next year. Why would he do that? I want an answer. I want a rational answer. No answer, no calls. Not one caller at 855-407-282. Why in a time of terror would you bring in 300,000 Muslims in particular? Yes, we will focus on Muslims again. You can say, well, not all Muslims are terrorists. We heard the whole thing. We've done the catechism on it. But amongst the 300,000, if it's only, what, 1%? What's that number? 3,000? Okay, so let's say it's not 1% who will be terrorists. Let's say it's 0.1%. So that means 300 of them will be terrorists. Are you telling me that we can risk 300 San Bernardinos next year because of this snake? Why are they not stopping him? Why would the Republicans go along with that? And here's the bigger question. Why would a psycho like Nancy Pelosi, who is as evil as they come with regard to greed, she is the greediest woman in the history of the world. There's no amount of power or money that will ever satisfy this lunatic. Why would a Catholic grandmother with American grandchildren who are Christians invite 300,000 Muslims into this nation in the year 2016? Why? I'm asking a simple question. Why? Tell me why she would do that. What's in it for Nancy Pelosi? Why would Dianne Feinstein want 300,000 Muslims here? That phony liar, that lying thing on the Senate Intelligence Committee, that useless double agent. Don't get me started in the last hour of my show. I meant to go out quietly, but I'll get worked up. You can't talk to me about these topics. I don't talk to too many people at all. I've become a total hermit. I've withdrawn completely into my work and myself. I talk to my dog. That's about it. I can't talk about the snake anymore. I can't talk about the liars and the thieves in high places. I explode. If I go on a little bicycle ride in my neighborhood and I see a neighbor who I talk to, within 2 minutes, if they touch a button on me with politics, I explode and get back on my bike and then pedal away. I cannot take it. It's coming out of me like a volcanic eruption, because I have never seen such deceit and criminality and suicidal behavior. Oh, I'm used to deceit and criminality. I live in San Francisco. That's the mother's milk of San Francisco politics. Clean suits, nice ties. The dirtiest people in the history of the world run this city. Evil. Pure evil. If you did a movie on villainy, you'd have to start in San Francisco. What they did here to the Archbishop here in this city. They told a Christian he wasn't a Christian because he stood up for Christian values. The city fathers, can you believe it? All the real estate thieves. All the real estate thieves who rob and steal from the public, rip each other off and steal and rezone everything to throw people out of houses. These creeps, the city fathers of San Francisco, they attacked the one Catholic archbishop who stood up for Christian values. They wanted to ride him out on a rail. They wanted to tar and feather him because he stood for traditional Catholic values. That's the filthy, dirty city that I have to live in. The sewer. A sewer would be cleaner than the city. Oh, they all wear Brioni suits, though. You should see how nice they look at cocktail parties at the museum. Cleaner than the driven snow. That's because we don't have a U.S. attorney like Pratt Bahara. We have no U.S. attorney here at all. So it's one cozy little party. Cozy little party. May as well be a nation unto itself. But the economy's booming. That's the important thing. Doesn't matter that Kate Steinle gets shot dead in front of her father on the wharf near the ferry terminal. That doesn't matter. In fact, that liar, that creepy lawyer for that illegal alien from Mexico who killed her, has the nerve to say it was an accidental shooting. Can you believe this? He said it's been proven it's an accidental shooting. Proven by another pervert that they found in the legal profession. Proven by who? Accidental shooting. The Mexican said he was shooting at sea lions. That unto itself is a felony, by the way, that could put him away for 5 years. Shooting at sea lions, okay? Now, if you took a gun and you went down to Fisherman's Wharf and shot at sea lions, how many years would the park rangers put you away for? 5 to 10? 5 to 7? Now, on top of it, he kills a woman. So you get him on two charges if you're a true prosecutor. Shooting at sea lions and shooting a woman. Put him away for 150 years. Send him to Guantanamo with his filthy lawyer. Oh, don't get me started. That's why I don't talk to people. That's why I try to do inspiration today. I try to stick to the positive. It didn't last too long. It lasted 2 hours and 40 minutes, which is actually a world record for me. 2:40, I went 2:40. Around 2:39, I went without blowing a stack. But okay, here we are, coming into the last 20 minutes. Let's go to the callers in Oregon, no less. Oh, what a sad state that is. It used to be great, beautiful, till Oregon was infested by San Franciscans who fled in the 70s. They fled in their B-1 Volvos, and they polluted Portland. They ruined the whole state. They ruined the whole state. They fled San Francisco and they polluted Oregon. Used to be a clean, beautiful state. They ruined Oregon. They ruined Washington with their idiotic progressive values. What values are those? Oh, do I have to spell them out for you? I did already when I told you about the National Endowment for the Arts and the kind of things that they're funding. That's their values. Sadomasochism, perversion. That's the values of the left. Varvara, K. Eugene. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I wanted to tell you, thank you so much for writing this book. I went to a couple of Walmarts and was able to purchase 9 copies. One stays with me and the other 8 for my siblings. There's 11 of us. And the rest listen to you. But this is like the best Christmas gift I think, that I've ever purchased.
Look, of course I want to hear that. That somebody went out and bought 9 copies of my book. Of course I want to hear it. I want the message of Michael Savage to get out to the world before the elections in 2016. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I thank you so much, Farver. I'll give you a 10th copy for free right now on the Savage Nation. Someone asked on Facebook, does he really give them out or is he a cheapskate? Yeah, I give them out. I've given out hundreds and hundreds of free books on this show since the book was published. Stay on the line, Farver, and thank you very much for your support. I have a friend who's a former college professor, who's a PhD in mathematics and physics. He's a very bright man. And I'm not saying that he said this to me because he wanted me to hear it. He read my book, Government Zero, and he calls me every once in a while because he's actually reading it. He said, you know, Michael, I was really not that clear on the issues of global warming. I didn't really know what to think. He said, I read your chapter on zero science. He said, it's written like a PhD thesis. He said, I couldn't believe what you put into this book. How did you do this? How did you make it so believable and, understandable for the average person out there? He said, it's written like for a PhD student, but for the average person. Well, I included the facts that you need to know about zero science. I talked about Lysenkoism. I made a comparison to the ex-Soviet Union, where under Stalin, people were forbidden to believe that genes exist, just like people in Obama's America are forbidden to believe that man-made climate change doesn't exist. And I said that Marxists have to stamp out the truth or no one would tolerate their rule. And that's why Stalin needed a fake scientist to push Lysenkoism in the USSR, and why Obama needs fake scientists to push global warming in the USSA. And I explained that. That's my taking off point for those of you out there who actually read. Purging scientists who descend, how real science works. Global warming and cooling are natural. Inconvenient research, the Vostok ice core samples. Where's the warming? This is for all of the pimply-faced children who work for Mark Zuckerberg. You may want to read that chapter if you think you know everything. You may find out that you're nothing but, let us say, red guards. Red guards, that's all you become. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
The MSM continues to lie about so many things. It used to be known as the mainstream media. It's now known as the Muslim stream media. The MSM, the Muslim stream media, still covering up the shootings in San Bernardino. Still covering up the failures of the DHS chief, Jay Johnson, who has not been fired by the snake. Why has there been no racial profiling introduced in the DHS to help prevent the next jihad in the U.S.? Why aren't the mosques that these two animals went to being investigated for the next wave of jihadists? Why has CARE not been closed down for covering up this slaughter and blaming America? Where is the outrage for what happened in San Bernardino? Where is the third shooter? Every eyewitness stated in the beginning there were three shooters. That's been buried up by the Muslim stream media. So I just found notes, by the way. I was cleaning out my desk during the break. And those are some of the notes that were left over. But okay, well, we're way past that. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Shopping time is here upon us. I got to go shopping. I got to buy people something. I don't know. I haven't bought anyone anything. I really have bought like one or two little things. I bought Teddy a new raincoat for the El Nino. He likes it. Don't think dogs don't know. They know gifts. I showed it to him. I said, look at it. It's all blue. Yeah, all right, I like it. I like it. Big deal. But it costs you $50. I'm worth it. You think I'm not worth it? All the pleasure I give you? You ought to be thankful that's all I cost you. I didn't ask for any diamond rings. No trips to Hawaii with the president. I'm a cheap date, Mike. You know, big deal. You bought me a raincoat. I have imaginary conversations with my dog. What are you going to do? You get zany after a number of years. You know, after 10 years with a dog, that's a long time. You sometimes think you're going crazy because they don't answer you. But you know they understand a lot of what you say, right? They do understand. Did they understand it? It's called anthropomorphism. To liberals, a dog doesn't even exist. To a true progressive, they think that they're just pure reactions of nerves, muscle, tissue, that there's no actual spirit inside the animal. Well, I'm going to end the show by saying to you they're wrong. As I began the show and didn't finish the thought, maybe I'll do it Monday with God's will. I wanted to talk about the Inuits, the native peoples of the Arctic, before the white man came, and how they saw the world, how they saw the universe, how they saw the creation of the world. Remember how long they had lived on that ice, and how they adapted to conditions that are unimaginable, and what skill it took to develop that material culture. Think about that. And think about what has been lost. Civilization and its discontents, sort of. But we're not talking about Sigmund Freud. Thoughts for Friday afternoon. Good night. Thank you.